Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Annie Jennings PR Teleseminar Series. Annie Jennings PR is a national publicity firm specializing in promoting authors and experts to the media. Her vision and insight has revolutionized publicity, as many of the publicity techniques, tools, and strategies in widespread use throughout the industry today have been developed by Annie Jennings PR. And Annie Jennings has been an invited guest lecturer for the Harvard Club, New York University's publishing program, as well as the American Society of Journalists and Authors. She is the premier publicity expert in the country, with her knowledge sought out by professionals and organizations everywhere, including TheStreet.com, AOL.com, as well as leading business magazine Fast Company, known for identifying trends as well as movers and shakers in any industry, who says that Annie Jennings PR is the place to go to learn how to become a best-selling author. So, Annie, thank you so much. We're excited for this presentation today.
I know, and I am too. Very excited about today's debunking the myths that are just keeping you from being your biggest success possible, and that's the goal. And just want to thank Stacy before we get started. And Stacy is a national publicist. Pay special attention to what she says, because Stacy is on the front lines every day, day in and day out, and she picks up the phone and she calls the biggest media in the country, and she presents and positions our experts so they can get booked. And that's important to know, because when you have that kind of access to the biggest shows, one, we are held to a huge level of responsibility, integrity in pitching, positioning our experts properly and responsibly, and we're able to really see the trends as they occur. We know what they're booking, why they choose a guest, how fast they turn around guests, how fast they move, what it's like to really be on the inside of a newsroom. So we're right there, right on the front lines of PR. And which is important, our information is never based on theory, ever. It's only based on what's actually working out there, what you can count on, what's tried and true, what's working, what's getting our experts booked. As you know, we have the very famous pay-for-placement publicity model, a performance-based model, where we are in it with you. Like, we're in it with you. We are not paid unless we're successful for you. What that allows us to do is to be highly creative and innovative in packaging and pitching experts, because we're never going to share a report with you that says, well, sorry, we pitched 3,000 people, they all said no. Well, that can happen. It just doesn't happen here. All right, so we are a performance-based organization, which I think is really a very good way, because we have, through our performance base, we become the best. And we always talk to our clients a little bit about developing outcomes and goals for themselves based on actually performing for their target market. Now, interesting concept, providing deliverables. So just as an overall, no one ever wants to take any kind of payment for anything that if they've never provided the outcome for the client. It should be based in measurable outcomes for the client, so that you become in demand, because if someone hires you or buys your service or buys your product, they get an absolute guaranteed deliverable that allows them to move forward in their careers. And that's important to understand. It's a very big shift on how we create our products and services. Create products and services the market absolutely wants to buy. Ask if you're a consumer, we're a consumer. And I would say to myself, and one of the ways we create these great pitches is, if I were watching the show and they were doing a segment on a situation in the news, what would I want to hear from the expert? And that's important to know, what it is you would want to hear from the expert. So put yourself in the shoes of the consumers, the shoes of the people listening to you, and address their concerns and create products and services that allow them, if purchased through you, to move forward and really go after their goals and dreams for themselves and their companies. So we have some myths that we find stand in the way of success, and these are leftover myths from the old days of PR. And PR has changed a lot over the years, a lot. PR has totally changed. PR and marketing are not the same thing. All right, they often get confused. And PR and marketing have certainly changed, because the role of PR now, in terms of deliverables, has certain outcomes. And when you purchase a product or a service, you want to know, what is the deliverable of what I'm purchasing? everything has a deliverable. Sometimes a deliverable is nothing in terms of if you buy, let's say, a broadcast press release distribution, your deliverable may be just that. Somebody sends it out to thousands of outlets for you. That could be the deliverable. The deliverable may not be anyone responds. So you want to know, what is it I actually get? Do I just get the service of sending it out, or am I getting a certain amount of responses guaranteed? Those are all important. If I were going to do a press release distribution system, I would absolutely guarantee the amount of responses the people received, right? Because the other way is so passive. You just build a list, send it out, go. It's not your problem if your client gets any responses or not. Well, I would quite frankly make it my problem, because I would want you to go out and get the most results possible. I don't like passive type of action. That is, type of publicity where you really get nothing. Nothing. A lot of action, let's say, or pretend action, we'll call it. Pretend pitching is another great topic, Stacey. We love that one.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of pretend action, though, that really yields nothing in terms of deliverables that you can use to forward yourself. So we don't do business that way. So we're always looking to build and continue to work in a business model that provides measurable outcomes. Hence, here are the myths that stand in your way of getting into your measurable outcomes that are going to help you go after your goals and dreams and become wildly successful. Everyone can do that. So we'll start with a myth. Stacey, let's go with one.
Okay, here's our first one, and this is one that we find to be pretty prevalent when you have people that are coming in on the entry level, right, within the ladder strategy, that everyone, you feel like you can do it alone, right? You don't need anybody else around you. I love myself. I can promote myself. I'm my own biggest fan. I can do it alone. Here's the thing. You can't do it alone, all right? That's the myth. That you feel like you can take on the responsibility of an entire team, of a team around you that already has developed professional skill sets in their areas of expertise, which are really important if you are looking to get to that highest level of expert status and that industry thought leader status. Okay, get that celebrity edge. You can't do it alone. The truth is, you truly do need a team. And you're going to need a team who believes in your mission, who aligns with what your goals and dreams are. So, as we say, you need to build a team, but be careful of the team that you build. You want to be able to find someone who has a great track record of success in their industry, and each person, each team member is going to be responsible for a deliverable, for an outcome. So while you're building this fantastic team, this team for you that's going to be out there promoting you, you're going to need your publicity arm, your marketing arm. You're going to need someone who's going to be able to schedule appointments for you, because as you move forward within a ladder strategy and you keep on getting more media and you keep on building up to the next level, people are going to start calling you sooner or later. So you're going to need people to help that. All you speakers out there, you'll need someone to be contacting, act as your little mini personal speakers bureau. You'll need that, because that is completely different from marketing, which is completely different from publicity. So these outcomes are all very unique, and you're going to want to have someone who has the evidence that they can perform, that they can provide those deliverables. So the first myth that we love to talk about is the fact that people feel like they can do it alone. And here's the other thing. Okay, it takes time, right? You need people, again, that have this skill set. It takes time. There's calls and follow-up calls and presentations and mailings and making sure all the details are right and knowing the questions to ask, because that's really important. So you're going to need someone that does have the resume that will suffice for their responsibilities. Okay. So that would be the first myth, is that you can do it alone. You need a team. Okay, the second myth is that it happens by magic, and this is one of our favorites. Oh, I'm an overnight success. Oh, you know what? I saw this person on Oprah, and they said that they sold X millions of books because they were on Oprah, and they just got called one day. And so, listen, they were hard at work to get to that point. It doesn't happen by magic. One of my favorite quotes, and everyone out there that are Annie Jennings PR Teleseminar fans and loyal followers out there know that one of my favorite things to say is that the person who wakes up and finds themselves an overnight success has never been asleep. All right? It never happens by magic. There's no coincidences in this type of business. It happens by intent and strategy. Okay? Hard work plays a big role here. When we're talking about the platform strategy, and now our next level, ladder strategy, success is going to come over time when you're in these strategies, because you do put in the blood, sweat, and tears. You do put in the time to become a socially relevant expert with something important to say. You have developed yourself to be a media commentator, and there is a formula that exists to be able to do that. You need the tools. It takes a lot of work over time, okay? Consistency over time. But hey, at this point, if you're in this type of strategy and you want to get out there and become an industry thought leader, you gotta love what you're doing. And so then it doesn't feel like it's work. Then it feels like you're just excited every morning with endless energy to get out there to kick it up a notch, right, Annie? Like we like to say, to hit the ball out of the park.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really important to do that.
That's right. So it really is a strategy of success that most of our clients are in. And that's one of the things we make sure that they understand the strategy. What is it they want to achieve? And do their choices help them achieve their goals? Because the fastest way to any given point is a straight line. Right? So we make sure that our clients understand that we go in with intent and with a strategy for success. And the thing that happens by magic is not true. It happens by understanding the strategy you're in and applying yourself to your strategy and staying consistent over time. Some people have goals of having their own talk show. Perfect. Have your own talk show. So what do you need to have your own talk show? Well, you're going to have to now create the skill set the talk show host has. Right? That's media training. That's practice. You're going to want to create your own internet show. You're going to now want to be socially relevant, so you have to know a lot about a lot of things if you want to be a talk show host. So now you're going to start into our blogging strategy, which is very powerful. It helps you identify these socially relevant issues, and you become very well educated in the stories of the day and those that came yesterday. You're able to also forecast the future nicely. So if you're a talk show host, you're going to want to know who to book next. Remember, Oprah started as a newscaster. How do I know? I read her autobiography. Now, you want to research. Let's say you do want to be a host. You're going to want to read all the autobiographies and biographies of every host you can get your hands on, because you want to hear about their experience in the world. You see how we're already doing some work here? So yes, I want to be a TV talk show host, but I've identified the skill set for the media I have to learn. I have to become a socially relevant. I have to get my internet show going up so I can get my interview skills. There's already four or five areas I've already identified that will help me reach my goal of becoming a talk show host. Next, I have to now get really good and start booking some high-powered guests, all right, so I can show that I can book really strong guests. At that point, I'm going to need a producer. I'm going to need to make the right hires. I'm going to need to find the right stories that are going to engage my listeners. I may even want to now buy an opportunity to be on a cable channel in my, you know, public access cable channel here in my hometown or my nearest big city. You see how I'm working my way up the ladder? See how all dreams and goals can come true? It's just applying yourself to the principles and the strategies that logically lead to the next step. So if you take Dr. Phil for an example, and some clients say, yeah, I'd like to be the next Dr. Phil. Well, you can do that. Now let's look and see. Let's look and see if you can be the next Dr. Phil or someone like a Dr. Phil. Let's look at your credentials. How do they line up? Let's look at some of the stories of how he actually got there. Who were his friends in high places? Did he happen to know someone? All right, we all know he was launched by Oprah, but he got to Oprah also by being out there, making a difference, applying his knowledge, his education, his credentials. He invested in himself to show that he was good. Now, if he showed up at anyone's door knocking and saying, I want to be a next talk show host, he and thousands of other people But when he applies himself and works at it over the years in a strong strategy designed to get him the outcome, the evidence that he'll be a great host, the reel, the demo reel, the knowledge, the confidence, the ability to pull off your own show. I have my own show, radio show, and I see that, you know, to produce a show every single week, every other week, takes a lot of commitment. People who, let's say, they want to be their own host, but then try to do the show thing, it's okay if you decide you don't want to continue. It's okay because maybe you thought you wanted that, but now you're realizing you may want something else. That's okay because it's only through the trying out our dreams do we understand where we're really headed, what we really want to do. So being a talk show host might have just been code for I want to be a person who makes a difference in the world. You may look at an Oprah or a Dr. Phil and you see them making a difference and you think you have to be a talk show host to do it. But yet when you got in the strategy of becoming a talk show host, you realize it didn't hold your interest. Okay, that means that you really want what they hold up. What is it that they are doing? Well, they're influencing the lives of others. And you can do that too. So now you realize that's more what I want to do. Now you can focus more on creating new knowledge for yourself, new applications of your knowledge to the issues of society. So you see how it doesn't happen by magic. It is through getting yourself into a strategy that you move through to your dreams or away from what you thought you originally wanted, because it's really not what you want after all, because you don't love it. And we know what it feels like not to love what we do. It feels bad. It feels like dread. It feels like, when is this over? Well, no one should have to live that way. You should live your dreams awake. You should live in your dreams awake. You can do that. And if you're excited about every day, and you're saying, yeah, I'm willing to put in the time because I love what I'm doing anyway, and the time is going to pass anyway, so why not have it working for me? So in 5 years, I can show I've done 5 years of internet radio. I've gotten my local TV show. I've appeared on the big shows. They've seen me on the big internet sites. You have a platform. So now when someone's... And you've created yourself to look like a host, too. You've honed your looks. You've developed the right hairstyle, the right wardrobe, the right physical appearance, if you wanted to just get really healthy looking. You know, oh, they like their host to look terrific. Look terrific. All right. So let's say you've done all this over 5 years. Now you're really ready to maybe pitch your own show, to get an agent, to come up with an idea of a show that's maybe just perfect for you. You may not be Dr. Phil, but you may be Dr. Greg. You may be someone else even better. Or someone else that serves another segment of the population. I don't believe in competition, and everyone knows that I really don't. I just believe in just living for yourself and the people that you can reach with your message, and leave everything else to everyone else. I'll leave Dr. Phil to his audience and Oprah to her audience, but what about my audience? You know, what about the Annie Jennings PR audience? Is there one? Of course. Do I want to speak to them? Absolutely. And they're different from the Dr. Phil's and the Oprah audience, but they're the audience that needs to hear what I need to say, what I like to say, and what I'm competent to say. So that little it happens by magic thing really stands in your way. If you say, well, someday I'm going to get discovered. You know, it happens by magic. It happened to everyone else by magic. Oprah got there by magic. Hardly when you read her story. All the other hosts have numerous years of education and experience at the lower levels. Read O'Reilly's story, his new book, Bold Fresh. It's a really great biography, autobiography, of how he became where he is today. It's a great story. And it tells you. He majored in it in college and went off to work in Miami and some other smaller stations along the way and worked his way up the food chain and the ladder and went back to school and got his degree in government from Harvard. And then he went for other new shows here in New York City. And then, of course, you meet friends, you network, you build up a relationship. And then an idea came along for a new show. O'Reilly seemed to be perfect for it based on his previous history and body of work and probably personal relationships. And there he goes. He gets it. Well, he looks like he's an overnight success, but it's really a culmination of a lifetime that, by the way, he loved living. All right, so that's the key. Love what you do, and you'll be able to stay with it for the rest of your life. Always be moving forward. Now we have another good one. I love this one. All right, people. I'll let you say it, Stacey. Go ahead.
Okay. Yes, and we do love it. Yes, I have to back you up on that statement. And the myth is, and what, brace yourself, people, right?
Yeah, I love the people.
That,
it means something.
I know. It's kind of contagious, that people thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the publicists are responsible for your success. The publicist is responsible for your success, right? That is a big, big myth. And we talked about before, when you've built your team successfully, which is what you need to do, because remember, you can't do it alone. The truth is that publicists, they're just one of several team members. And what their responsibility is to secure the media placements. This is going to help drive your marketing. This is going to help build your media bio so that you can get to that next level. Okay? So publicity, again, separate from marketing, separate from speaking, separate from responsibility for your success, right? So you want to be sure that when you're in a strategy, you understand it, you understand how all of the arms of your marketing and publicity and speaking and publishing and everything, all those teams, how that works together.
You know, I have another great one, too.
Okay.
When this is not a myth, this is the truth, the publicist should really be your best friend. Because the more, exactly. Because some people do hold publicity and marketing people and the people that they hire to work for them responsible for their success, when in reality, you are responsible for your own success. I know, we hate to hear that, right? We hate to hear we're responsible for what happens to us, but we are. And the idea is to search out the strategy that yields the deliverables that allow us to be successful. So that is a very, very big myth about publicity people being responsible. I think a lot of power, false power, has been given to the word publicity or public relations or your publicist. I mean, sometimes you hear a lot with celebrities, the publicist, okay? Well, so what? A publicist is a person who helps you get to where you want to go and takes care of the details while you're getting there. That's it. And we apply a certain amount of brilliance and a certain amount of know-how and media savvy that you may not possess or desire to possess because it's a whole career. So a publicist is very critical to your success, but a publicist cannot create your success for you. You have to be willing, able, and ready to go forward in a way that a publicist can bring you up through the ladder strategy and to your highest level of potential and success. You have to be a good client. And a good client is one who understands what it is they want to achieve. I want to achieve this. And then understands if they're in the strategy to do so. If you're not in a strategy where you feel you're going to get what you want, you have to re-examine the strategy because it's not going to work. So it's no sense in being in a strategy that you feel isn't going to get your outcome, a reasonable chance of your outcome. So you don't want to be in that strategy anyway. You want to be in a strategy that you love and you can embrace and you can go with every day. We have noticed our most successful clients are the type of client that embraces every single moment. In fact, just yesterday we sent a client a little news story and we said, or an idea that we had for a pitch, and he goes, "You guys come up with the best challenges." And do you know, within about 15 minutes, though, he had his talking points. And what it was about is we wanted to know, and this was good, he's a leadership expert and he's been in a lot of places. We wanted to know, and this has to do with the pirates. And you remember, for those listening later, we had pirates board a ship and they held the captain hostage. And the order to fire, to use physical force, okay, had to come from Obama himself. And the fact is that he did order the use of physical force if necessary. Now, those were the shots heard around the world. And what does that say now? We're in a delicate position. Now you're getting a chance to see how we think. We're in a delicate international global position where people are wondering, who is President Obama? What does he stand for? Will he uphold? Will he do this? Will he cave under pressure? Who is he? Well, here he is, tested Right. And he sends the message, don't mess with us. From a leadership point of view, what did he do right? What did he do wrong, if anything? What message did he give out, and how important it is to give a message of strength, of doing the right thing at the right time? There was no big media press conference on how he was going to order this. He just did it because he had to. Now, you take those leadership, and I'm just here building a segment. All right, I'm not passing judgment on right, wrong, or anything. I'm building a segment for a leadership expert who can now come on the air and talk about the importance of what happened and how it applies to leadership across the board. The new leadership, the new leader, the brave leader, the leader who can make the tough choices, the leader who sometimes has to act on his own. See, our businesses are in a lot of trouble. All those following the news. Now you can see where I'm headed next, right? You see, about into what our businesses can learn from strong leadership. Will that particular act have a trickle-down effect to our CEOs? Will our CEOs step up and be more courageous? See, we can go on and on, but this is how we use the breaking news media, all right, to develop segments. So yesterday we sent this over, and he goes, you asked the most interesting questions, and he came back with us with really some great points. And yeah, he is on the air, and if you turned on your TV, you'd see the segment. But that's how it happens. So our clients that do well, they understand they're in a process, and they don't say, well, I don't really think has anything to do with leadership. You sometimes have to trust your publicist, because we do know, basically, a leadership expert is the perfect, and a branding expert would have been good for that too, a global branding image consultant at a very high level would have been a good person for that too, but leadership was perfect. So even though the publicist is not responsible for your success, we certainly can guide you to where you want to go, and being a good client is important. Here's how to be a bad client. An example of a bad client is, I didn't get any book sales. We'll talk about that a little bit later, but see how negative that sounded? Instead of like, wow, I got this huge placement, let's see where it goes from here. I just spent 45 minutes on the phone. That's like an enthusiastic, fabulous client that makes your publicists are human too. All right, except I'm like superhuman, so I just rise above everything. But your publicist is basically human. Your normal, everyday publicist is basically human. They have feelings. And normal people like to work with people they love, they trust, they enjoy working with, they're easy to work with. Producers love to work with these people, too. So you want to be the ideal guest, low maintenance. You want to be easy. You want to be smart, savvy. You want to just be all these things that make it a joy for you to be in other people's lives. So there you go. You're responsible for your own success, and now you're going to be responsible for your own, you know, non-success. If you are demanding, if you are feeling you're entitled, all right? So there you go. You know, those are some of the things to keep in mind. Just be really a wonderful person that people welcome into their lives. It's really great because networking is key. That's one thing that's not a myth for sure. All right, Stacey, we have some people who feel a little silly about promoting themselves. Why would that be a myth?
It would be a myth because you're not going to be promoting yourself. Right? Mm-hmm. The truth is that anyone you are marketing to expects you to know why you're good, and that you shouldn't market yourself anyway. That's really
right.
The truth there.
There's really two components to that. One is, if you were to ask me, why am I good? Well, I'm going to tell you, because I'm holding aces. Right? I'm holding aces. I'm holding the best deck in the business. The best two cards in this business I hold. And I created it, so I'm always holding aces. I know I'm good. I know we deliver results. I know our business model is superior. I know that we offer the number one radio campaign in the entire industry. I know it all, and I'm not hesitant to tell it because it's a fact, and I'm proud of it. So when someone says, why are you good? Why should I go with you over someone else? I'm happy to give you all the reasons. I'm happy to back it up, too, with fact. That's why I know I'm good. If you feel funny about promoting yourself, there's something about what you're going to say that you don't feel your integrity with, so you have to look at it and say, what can you say about yourself? So if you went into a car dealership and you said, well, I want to buy that particular car, could you tell me all the features? And if the salesperson said, I don't know any features. I know nothing about birth and no babies. Did you laugh, Stacey?
Yes, I did. I laughed. Yes, I did. I did laugh about that.
I've been waiting for a long time to use that line.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, you expect them to know. All right? You expect a car salesman to know why these cars are great and you should buy this. You know, if you're there, you want information. Somebody's coming to you and saying, tell me a little bit about yourself and tell me a little bit about why I should hire you over you know, XYZ firm. Your answer has to now point out your features. You know, why you are good, what is your deliverable, and with practice, you're going to see how logical that really is. And now you're not self-promoting anymore. You're just stating fact. You're just stating fact, and you're getting you and your company more business. You're supporting your family, and there's nothing wrong with that. If I asked someone I wanted to do business with, what is the benefit about using you, perhaps, to do my website, and they had no answer for me, I would not be able to hire them in good conscience, because I could not invest my money in somebody who doesn't know why they're good. Because I don't invest money like throwaway money. I don't expense it. I invest in outcomes. I'd rather have somebody who says, well, because this is what I understand about websites, and they went into the list of what they know how to do and how they know how to build a site and how they're outcome oriented. And what if they could show me some amazing sites that were designed for conversion strategy, designed for sales, designed for impact, designed for branding? That's the kind of person I want to work with. And yeah, will I pay more for it? Absolutely. I'll pay more for an investment that's going to yield a return, because every time someone goes to that site and then they click on, I want to be one of Annie's clients, you know, this site's paying for itself. It's an investment at the time. So when someone says to you, why you? Think about why you. Why you? And then always add to the why you, until you get so confident that, wow, why me? There's every reason why me. Why not me? You should be asking. Because you're good. However, most people have the idea to go to the next level is to have a marketing team. Because there are many people who aren't good. I just gave you a little, a little idea of how you can learn to be very comfortable talking about yourself, all right, because people expect you to know why you're good. But a lot of people have a challenge with that, and that's okay, too, because you really don't have to market yourself. I can do it all the time. Ask me why I'm good, I'll tell you. But a lot of people, and I talk to thousands of clients, so I've got that pretty much down. But a lot of people have a marketing team that knows why they're good. So if you feel funny about promoting yourself, right, it's okay to feel that way until you realize you are good and you deserve to say these things about yourself because it's fact. And this is what they need to hear to hire you, because they want to invest, not expense. You have a marketing team, people who align with your mission statement and whose job it is to present you to others, such as setting up the appointments, sending intro information, following up. These are formulas for success. It goes back to not doing it all alone, building a great team, and then if you're having trouble marketing yourself, your team can market for you. I can say amazing things about Stacy because they're true and I believe them, and I've taken the time to actually list all the excellent attributes of Stacy. All right, that's why I can say it, and I'll say it to anyone who asks me. So marketing, by the way, is a full-time job. So when you are saying all these great things about yourself, time is slipping away. And what is that time? That is your time to serve the clients that you have, right, to think of new services and products that can serve your market better. We all have to perform. It's not just all about getting new business. Now you have performing on the new business. Many people are consultants, are speakers. They actually have to perform the contract. So they don't have time to market all day long. You'll need a team. Marketing involves personal calls, conversations with others, creating opportunities for yourself. They'll be creating them for you, creating a vision for what you can do for them. So as your marketing team is speaking to potential new clients, their job is to create the vision in the client on what you can do for them that is maybe different or better than what others can do for them. There's follow-up, consistency over time. Professional skill set is a must. Imagine this. Hi, Ms. Rosemary from so-and-so company, and duh.
Right.
you know, they fall away from the conversation. They don't have that energy, that pizzazz, that belief in your system, that belief in you, that engages people. People just love people who are like that, who are filled with personality and fact, not just all, oh, it's so fabulous, come do business with us. You know, it's not about being fabulous. It's about being truthful and honest, but also having the best product in town. And that's when your marketing works for you, when you know you're holding aces every single time. So it's difficult to do your marketing alone. And for those reasons, one of which you might feel a little shy about promoting yourself, and that's totally okay. It happens. Eventually, I think you will become successful to the point where it's okay. You're okay about talking about yourself. All right. But your team helps you do this. So we've been talking a lot about teams because we believe in the team concept. There's a lot of spokes in these marketing wheels and these platform wheels, and we need support. We need help. Because we also have to have something called a little bit of balance because the kids demand it. And I have five, so I know how it is with having a team. We have a great team here. Many of you on the line have met a lot of our team members, you know, and they do a great job for us. And we all have the same vision here. And that's important, too, that the marketing, when you're putting a team together, you hire people who agree with your mission statement. That's important because you're in business for a reason. And when others believe in your company, the same thing that you believe why you're there, then it's going to work a lot more smoothly. So you want to be very careful with the hiring and hire people you really feel can fit in with your team. All right? Now, Stacy, we can move on to about our next myth then.
Well, the next myth is that if you have a team, right, that's in place, that's helping you and promoting you and so on, is that you don't have to do anything. That's the myth. That's a big myth, right? You don't have to do anything. The truth is that absolutely yes, even though you're not taking on the job description of your team, right, you do have to take action. We talked about earlier about being socially relevant, about staying on top of the news. You have to be able to develop at the drop of a dime whatever it is your marketing team needs to be able to responsibly promote you, to keep you socially relevant, all right, to stay on top of the cutting edge information in your industry. And you're going to need to do this on a daily basis. All right, as Annie was talking about, news story hits, pirates take over the ship, they're holding the captain hostage, President Obama needs to make a decision, right? That can be applied to many different areas and industries, areas of expertise. You can take a lot of angles on that, and if you are an expert that can comment on that in some manner, then you're going to want to do that. You're going to need to provide the discussion points. Okay? Annie talks a lot about always be holding the aces. She did that just then. You need to do that. And again, don't confuse the responsibilities of your team around you and then what your personal responsibilities are to help them be successful for you. You're the one who knows your market, not your team. Listen, I know PR, but I don't really know a lot about the finance industry. So when I have a client who says he wants to comment on the latest economic, you know, stimulus package or whatever the latest news in the economy may be, I'm not going to pretend to know what he's talking about.
Well, and you come to me.
Right, yeah, that's when I come to her. Yeah, exactly. She's got, like, many, many, many different areas of expertise. We joke around that you might as well have the alphabet behind Annie Jennings' name and designations because she's a little bit of everything. But if you didn't have someone as well-versed as Annie Jennings, you're going to need to help them. And you know what? It's not responsible. It's irresponsible, as a matter of fact, for the public to think that they can, you know, talk about this and create the points, the angles, discussion that you're supposed to have if you get booked on the media. You can't do that. You have to be there, and you've got to responsibly provide the information that your marketing team needs to promote you and be successful for you.
Stacey, that's a really great point, because you're right. Let's pretend you're a producer, and let's pretend you're a producer that may have less experience. Just be kind of new. Let's say you're new. And you want to book a finance expert on this ranking of the bank's health, right? Well, you didn't study that in college. You studied communications in college. You didn't really get much into finances and that. So you're going to look to your expert to give you the 5 points, the 5 critical points that are essential for the public to understand in the bank ranking system proposed by President Obama. Just released story today. So your finance expert, when you find somebody in finance and banking and economic impact, you're going to say to them, if we do rank our banks, what are we ranking them for? How do we determine the ranking formula? What happens if the bank that we use ranks poorly on this scale? Should we pull out all our money? Is this going to create economic chaos? What is the fallout to consumers to finding out where their bank actually ranks in relative health? See, already made the segment. Wouldn't you want to know now?
Mm-hmm.
So your producer needs to get how it's going to work. What are the issues? Is this bank ranking a good idea? We don't know. They may want to do a segment on how is this going to work? Will this have an impact? What will the impact be? Now it's your job as the finance expert to say, well, first, read the story. Most things are pegged to another source. Read the story and understand the motivation behind the story. Now, apply your wisdom, your education, your experience, what you know about the banking, finance, human reaction, human behavior area, to this story and say, here is why this is important. One, creates confidence. We have a crisis of confidence in our economy right now. By knowing where your bank stands, you create confidence. However, by knowing if your bank is finding out that your bank is on the lower scale in terms of health, will that make you pull your money out? Well, knowing about consumer behavior, you can make a prediction on what that will do. So there's a lot of discussion. It's very interesting to discuss, should this be done at all? And then you'll take a side and you'll say, yeah, absolutely, it should be done. What we need more than anything is confidence in our banking system to restore our economy and start the growth again and jumpstart our growth, right? Or you could take the side that says, I don't think this is a good idea, and here's why, and here's my 5 points. Why? It's your responsibility to come up with the points. You should not say to your team, you guys figure out the points. Your marketing team didn't go to college for finance. They don't hold the MBA, right? Oh, that's your job now, is to provide the information that they need to go out and be successful. So, yeah, you have to be totally engaged. You have to take action when necessary. Their job is to promote you. Your job is to fuel the promotion. Give them something to talk about. Be your next biggest deal. Sensationalize yourself. Be doing amazing things that your marketing team cannot wait to tell all your prospective clients that you're doing. Get booked on the big TV shows. You know what they get to do now? They get to email their list that they've been working, which they're in communication with, of course, on a regular basis when it's responsible, saying, oh, guess what? So-and-so is going to be featured on so-and-so tonight. Don't forget, turn it on at 8 o'clock p.m. Yeah, they can use that to help you, but you have to go out. You're the one who's getting both. Your publicist got you on. Your marketing team shares the information to their targets, their customer, new client, target market for you. You see how it's a nice circle? It works perfectly. It's the key. All right, here's another good one. All right, this is a very strong myth that we have been very concerned about, because we want our clients to be hugely successful. We don't want anything standing in your way, not one thing standing in your way. We want to break down all the barriers of entry to just about every media outlet, and we want to correct the thinking that keeps you stuck at a level that is insulting to you. You should be at a much higher level of productivity, of income, of contribution. And some of these old myths, they'll stand in your way. And here's a big myth that stands in the way of so many people. Stacy, want to also share the conversation on this particular one, since it's like,
sure.
It's really
right up my alley?
It's right up your alley. Yeah, it is right up your alley. Okay, here we
really?
Go.
We
all right,
roll
myth.
Please.
Big
yeah.
Myth.
The myth is that it's all about book sales. Okay.
That's a myth, by the way.
Yes, please. Don't take this out of context whatsoever.
Imagine a
I don't
quote.
Want that to come back to bite me later.
All right.
But
so
you said on
that particular quote, all
right.
About book sales.
Right, right. No, it's
no.
not. It's not all about book sales. It's not. The truth is, is that it's all about your message. It's all about showcasing you as an expert. It's your skill set. It's about you creating thought leader status that is going to skyrocket you past all your other competitors in your industry. And if you're doing that, and if you're in these strategies that we've been discussing, the book sales, yeah, they'll come later. It's like residual, right? Placing the value of PR, of your publicity, according to the amount of books that you are selling, is a critical mistake. It's an incorrect method of valuing your publicity. Publicity is an investment, and it pays off forever down the road.
Mm-hmm.
We always joke around about how, you know, not even joke around because it's the truth, that once you've been on a high level, let's say, you know, okay, so you appeared on Hannity, no one ever, ever, ever can take that away from you. And that will continue to pay you back for years to come by the doors it opens up and the opportunities that it will lead to, okay? Book selling comes from your marketing. Okay, publicity is about the sizzle. It's about sensationalizing yourself, branding yourself, and putting you in the position to be seen, to be heard, and then, of course, to be hired. Okay, it is like, you know, it's credential building, and it really helps you stand above your competition. So it is absolutely not about the book sales whatsoever. It doesn't, that's not even a component.
That's right.
Of it.
So never say, well, how many books will I sell? That's marketing.
I don't know.
Book marketing is book marketing. Well,
right.
Yeah, that's not our job. Or see, and think about, you know, a book sale, once you sell it, it's done. It's on somebody's shelf.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And
right.
Then you get your money, whatever it may be. But we haven't built anything for the future, right? And you get that limited income. Whereas positioning yourself as an industry thought leader, as somebody who can make change happen, as somebody who should be invited to weigh in on important issues, as somebody who should be on camera, somebody who should be consulting with big companies on areas where they need expertise, that's where it becomes important that you're valuing your media according to the opportunities it can open and the doors it can open for you. By limiting yourself to how many book sales, you're limiting yourself tremendously rather than expanding yourself to and opening up to more opportunities of what can come your way. You're limiting yourself to the very narrow land of book sales. And, you know, it doesn't matter how many books you sell. What's important is that your book comes to life, it showcases your knowledge, and you're out there sharing your messages with others, sharing your life-changing messages in a very responsible way with others. And then your marketing team is taking all the PR that you're getting, and they're applying it to your marketing, applying it to your pursuit of new clients. You're allowed to do that. You're allowed to have this strategy in place. But the second you focus on the minute, the second you lose, and the minute is about how many book sales I'm going to have from this particular radio appearance. No, you're going to have on your resume that you've appeared as a guest on the following topic on a major radio show in a top city market. Yeah, that creates excitement, especially for the next person who wants to book you for the higher level media, the one right above that, the nationally syndicated show. All right, you see how you go forever? And then your marketing team takes it and applies it to your marketing. And that's, of course, a whole other teleseminar we'll do for you. Because we know how to do that as well, how to apply your publicity to your market for optimal outcome for yourself. That's important to know, too. All right, so another one that we have is publicity and book marketing are the same. We've talked about this, very different. Publicity and book marketing are different, and confusing them will cause you to just absolutely be stuck. Publicity is creating awareness and showcasing yourself and getting you out there and making yourself in the next big deal, sensationalizing yourself. Because you deserve it. It's about creating a relationship with your market. Book marketing is actually the intent to get sales, back of the room sales, positioning in bookstores, bookshelf positioning, favorable positioning, banner ads on other people's high traffic sites. You see, this is book marketing. All right, we have another good one. This is great, Stacy. Do you want to take away about people who believe falsely that the media will just what?
A drop in your lap?
Happen. Yeah.
Right? How are they going to even know about you? I mean, like we were talking about, you're an expert in finance or whatever your expertise may be. You're not an expert in publicity. You don't have that skill set to position yourself. Okay, listen, you can have, all right, you may have a long-standing relationship with, so, you know, oh, my brother's X, Y, whatever, you know, I mean, you have that. But nothing's going to beat having a top, highly respected professional publicist that has the skill set necessary, right, to present you to the media. That's our job, okay? We're going to be able to position you perfectly for the media opportunity, okay, and then book you for it. And then close the deal. That's the hardest part. Sure, any 18-year-old fresh out of high school or is interning or in college, what behind the ears, can send out a bunch of emails. But is that going to close the deal? No. Okay? If no one is out there presenting, following up, getting it done, you might be losing out on media. There's media out there for everyone. All right, and they have a preference for booking the highly qualified, easily accessible guest or expert. All right, this is going to make their job easier. It's their responsibility, right, to provide the best expert for the segment. Okay, and usually through a publicist, they have the certainty that your publicist can be trusted, and we'll do the screening for them. They'll filter out the fake experts and save them lots of time. So it's really important to have someone, a professional, representing you because they know how to get it done.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Now, this is a good one, too. Publicists can control the amount of time you get on the segment or the amount of quotes that you'll get in the piece or you'll get in the newspaper article. Let's say you are interviewed by a journalist or an internet columnist, let's say, or journalist, newspaper, magazine, or internet placement, that we can control that. Now, here's the truth. This is not in your publicist's control, as the outlet has a profile, and this profile is set in stone. It's predetermined by people at the very high levels of management of that particular media outlet. This profile of the show can only be changed under the direction of their top executive team. So segments are preset. They're preset for time. The show, let's say it's an hour show, the hour is broken up into segments, into time slots, into news, weather, traffic, right, segment, guests, and they have certain time frames for that. Now, many of us have been watching a show, and some of the shows are famous for just cutting off the host right in the middle because a guest has sort of rolled over a little bit. And they're like closing out the segment saying, okay, we'll be back. And they've cut them off because they had to. It's that close to time because the sponsors need their time too. And of course, these stations are financed by the advertising dollars, right, that they bring in. So you can't short an advertiser. They're buying for 30 seconds. They want their 30 seconds. So they have to make sure that things work very smoothly. And there's not a lot of that cutoff. So they create segments, and they create segments appropriately. So we don't have the power to say, well, do you think you could keep my guests on a little longer than the 6 minutes that you have offered? Well, they're not able to do that as much as they love you. They can't. They can bring you back for another segment, another 6 minute segment. Of course they can. They can even hold you over for the next segment because they have another six minute segment set for the next half an hour, in the next half an hour, time period. Of course they can. But they can't keep you for 10 minutes when you're slated for 6 because what are you going to do with the time, the weather, whatever, everything they have to report on and all these other formula that makes their show a smash hit success. Now, here's how you make the most of it, though. The idea is make the most of what is offered. Don't try to get them to change. You change for them. We need to work within the profile of the shows. Biggest lesson ever is to understand, well, if the profile of the show is they only book guests with this kind of packaging and development and media bio, well, shouldn't we only be presenting guests that meet the profile of the show? Of course. It makes perfect sense. Why would anybody want to waste their time presenting a guest that's not qualified for the show according to the profile of the show? Well, what happens there is bad things happen. Everyone gets a bad reputation who's involved with that style pitching. And the poor expert, who doesn't even understand that this has happened to him, is sort of on the way to being blacklisted. Because, well, this expert doesn't even know what they're an expert in. They're coming to me and they don't fit the profile of my show. Very, very careful when it comes to pitching. That's a whole other conversation. But so the publicist cannot control, though, what you're going to get. We can only control what we do with what we get. So we generally have an idea of the profile of the media outlet that we're going for, what they generally offer, usually offer. And that's usually the range. Well, generally, they'll include a quote or two, your positioning, your name, your designation, and the name of your book or company. Well, can I get my website in? Great question, but not always possible. And the publicist doesn't have control over that because a website is an executive decision. Why? People may not want to drive traffic away from their site, from their magazine. They may not want to distract their audience by allowing a click-through to a whole another world of another person's site. You see, there's strategies in place, and we don't have control of changing those strategies. So while it would be nice to get your website, if the general policy is no, why fight for it? You're fighting a losing battle and making a bad name for yourself. Why not figure out, well, why don't I create a lot of visibility for myself on the web, so if someone wants to find me, all they really have to do is put my name in Google, and there I am. So I don't need my website anymore. And you don't. You don't even need your website anymore in these placements, because thank goodness we have Google. I love it. So make the most of what you do get. How can you expand what you do get and reposition and reapply it to give you as much strength as possible? So let's say you are going to have a short period of time on a radio because it's big. The bigger the show, the shorter the time period, usually. Get media training. Get media training so that you can learn the skill set to be short, concise, to the point, engaging and entertaining, and promotional. All in 6 or 8 minutes, right? Doesn't that sound like it's like, wow, how am I going to do all that? Well, that's what media training's there for. You can do that. And you can do a really great, you can create a really great win-win-win for all involved. The station, the host, the listener, the viewer, and you as the expert or guest. And guess who they're going to call next time? If they have the opportunity to rebook you, they will. Why? You're easy. You're good. You get it. So, there you go. That's a wrap on our myths today. Stacey, how about we wrap it up and let everyone know that we're going to be back with lots more strategy and information. You can get a recording of a lot of our teleseminars at anniejenningspr.com/publicitypro.htm.
Yeah,
so there you go, Stacey.
Perfect. Perfect. Great job.
And great job to you, too, Missy.
Thank you. Back
right.
to work. Back to kicking it up
yeah,
and
yeah, here we go. I'll talk to you later.
Have a great week.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.